In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are continuing Luisa and the bread, the food of the most holy divine will. We are on page 11, middle of the page, volume 24, 928-1928. And Jesus begins, "My daughter, Luisa, great graces have I, Jesus, given to you, Luisa Picaretta, and through you, Luisa Picaretta, to the whole world, by manifesting to you so many truths about my most holy divine will." So here is a very clear statement from Jesus Christ. Very, very clear what Jesus is showing Luisa. It's the Lord God Almighty, Jesus, the Word of God, speaking to Luisa. And he says very, very clearly to her, this is great graces that I, Jesus, the Son of God, have given to you, Luisa Picaretta. And not only do I give this to you, but through you, Luisa, all those who will read the Book of Heaven to the whole world, by manifesting to you, Luisa, so many truths, so many blessings, so many promises about my most holy divine will. So here, Jesus is finally, as he says to Luisa, finally, I can give to mankind what I wanted to give to Adam, but because he fell, I couldn't give it to him. He couldn't absorb the divine truths, the divine realities. And so what happened with the three great blessings, the three powers that God gave to the soul, your intellect, memory, and will, the intellect is so confused. When Eve ate of the tree and gave it to Adam, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they were totally confused. A lot of people fall into sin because they think it's going to be pretty good. Well, this will be good. And it's based not on divine truths, but on a corrupt and clouded intellect. And so what happens is God allows people, because of Adam's sin, to live a life that is not of God, to begin to live a life that is away from God. There's no purity there. There's no understanding of divine truths. So Jesus is now saying, now I want to begin to teach you a divine reality. And not only that, but with your memory, to begin to live a life that God originally planned for Adam and his children, and that is to remember, be focused on Jesus. And that's, again, why we have the Holy Rosary. Our Lady always leads us to her Son. And what is happening at that point is the soul begins to live this abundant life. The soul begins to live a life focused on Jesus. The memory, do you remember Jesus says, "Do this in memory of me." And that's the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. But also in everything that Jesus thinks, says, and does, he wants us to be focused on that. Not to what they said about me, what they did against my family, what they, how they treated the people that I love. No, it's not to remember that, but to live a life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, to remember that beautiful life of Jesus, that beautiful life of the Blessed Mother, the Mother of God Theotokos, the Son of God Jesus Christ. So here our God is asking us to become aware of what he, the Lord God Almighty, is doing. What he is doing is very, very clear. Why do you have the Book of Heaven? the great graces that Jesus has given to Louisa, and through Louisa, through you, Louisa, it's now given to all those who read what I taught you, to read what I've given to you. The Word of God has given us this gift. And what's so beautiful, as Jesus with the Gospels, with Jesus with the New Testament, he fulfills everything of the Old Testament. And now, with this Book of Heaven, you're going to understand more of what Jesus has done in the New Testament and how everything that was prophesied about Jesus has come true. Everyone will want to be a baptized Catholic. Why? This universal life that God has breathed into Louisa, this life that Adam lost, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, she begins to live. And then we, as we read, as we study, as we put into practice the truths of the divine will, we also begin to live this. Through you, Louisa, to the whole world. The whole world is going to change. The whole world is going to begin to live a life that God originally planned. And what is that life? It's no worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. I was just talking to somebody this morning. The person was panicking. Do you know what's happening? Do you know what's going on? I said, hey, Jesus knew that we were going to live at this time. He knew that he would have to do something to help us fight. See, we're fighting every heresy that the church ever went through. All the heresies that the church went through are happening right now. We're going through every heresy. And because there's been really no basic teaching for the last 50 years, people don't know how to deal with these heresies. We know they're wrong, but how do you face this? How do you go through this? And, you know, a lot of people have corrupted history, saying it was the church who has done this. The church, no. It's people in the church that have done it. You know, the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church. But there are some people who focused on their own life, their own pleasures, and not listening to the church has corrupted what the church has said. I mean, that's a fact. So what does Jesus do? He predestined us to live at this time. Why? To be cremated, to be sacrificed, to be aborted? No. He created us at this time to be given the Book of Heaven, to understand these divine truths, these great graces of the so many truths that Jesus gave to Louisa. Each page, again, is filled with divine promises. And as you read them, you know, I know people who have read the Book of Heaven and they go, well, where are the promises? And I'm going, oh my goodness. It's on every page. Listen to what Jesus is telling you. Listen to what he is asking of you. He's really asking your permission. Would you want to possess my divine will, Jesus says? Or do you want to continue to possess your human misery, your human will, with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin? And when we say, yes, I want this, then Jesus says, good. Continue to read. Continue to study. Let me teach you what I am going to show you. Remember, Jesus said this was going to happen. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths. He will remind you of everything that I have said. And that's the Book of Heaven. We are listening to Jesus as if we were with him 2,000 years ago, sitting with him in his living room, if you want to say, with the Blessed Mother. And Joseph is there listening too, the little house of Nazareth, listening to Jesus, the Son of God, the Word of God, teach us. And Our Lady, every now and then, Jesus would look at Our Lady and say, do you have anything to say, Mother? And she'd go, yes, I want to say this. And he'd go, good. She, as a true mother, leads us to her Son. And this book, remember Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths and remind you of everything that I have said. This is what the Book of Heaven is all about. And once we enter into this and begin to understand that, We never want to miss a day of listening to Jesus. He's right there. He says, I will touch your mind as you read this so that you will understand it. And I will touch your heart as you read this so that you will love it. You will begin to love what God loves from a divine perspective. So Jesus says this, through you, Louisa, to the whole world, by manifesting to you the so many truths about my divine will. I remember being in the secret archives of the Vatican and copying the writings of Louisa and remembering what Jesus said. When people begin to read this, the whole world will change. You're seeing it happen right now. You're seeing it with our government. You're seeing it with other governments. You're seeing it in the church. Everything seems to be falling apart. And why? Because Jesus is saying to everyone and everything, my kingdom's coming. My kingdom's coming on earth as it is in heaven. And he's trying to get us ready. As a matter of fact, when you read Our Lady of Revelation, when she speaks to Bruno, very, very clearly, Our Lady says to Bruno, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of the evil one. The kingdom's coming. See, this is the great joy, the great hope that the Book of Heaven gives us. The kingdom of God is coming on earth as it is in heaven, and it's already here because of Louisa. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. And now he's revealing to us this kingdom of God within us. And it's to allow God to be the Lord of our life. Allow our Eucharistic Lord to reign in us, not with a communion that we receive at Holy Mass for 15 minutes until the host dissolves, but a perennial communion with God that Adam possessed. This is the bread of the divine will that Jesus has fed Louisa. And now, as we read this, as we study this, what's happening is we're beginning to nourish ourselves on this bread of the divine will. How glorious is this? So Jesus says, in fact, not only are my the truths of my divine lives, my highest goodness puts out, okay, these truths that Jesus speaks to Louisa. By locating this divine life of its own, see, it's God speaking to us. For as many truths that the divine will manifests, but each of these divine lives contains a divine happiness, one distinct from the other, to be communicated to souls, to the creatures, and a divine glory, one different from the other, that the creatures can give back to God, to He, Jesus, who manifested it. So again, you breathe this in, this divine I love you, and you breathe it back out to God, a divine I love you. Your prayer life completely changes in the divine will. You're not praying the rote prayers that the saints have given us. You're beginning to pray the way Jesus prays. You're beginning to pray the way the Blessed Mother prays. You're beginning to pray the way Adam prayed before the fall, when he lived that preternatural life. This is what God is asking of us. Are you willing? So he says, he puts it in, again, this is the Word of God speaking these words to us, and they're not human. They're divine. This is a divine language, and you have to begin to learn this. How do you learn it? With any language, you become fluent in it. You participate in it. If you want to learn French, go to France. If you want to learn Spanish, go to Spain. You want to learn Italian, go to Italy. You want to learn German, go to Germany. You want to learn the divine will? Begin to live in the kingdom. This is what God is asking of us. Learn this. So what does he say? Let's do it again. He says, I'm manifesting to you so many truths about my divine will. And will, in fact, not only my divine truths, divine lives, that my highest goodness, God Almighty, puts out, gives to you, by locating this divine life of its own, for as many divine truths that it manifests, But each of these divine lives contains a divine happiness, one distinct from the other, to be communicated to the soul, to your soul. God is speaking. Remember when he said, fiat lux, everything began. When Our Lady said, fiat mihi, the incarnation took place. When we say, fiat voluntas tua, may your kingdom reign in earth on this dust as it does in heaven, it begins to give a divine glory, one different from the other, that the souls can give back to God, the God who manifested these words to Louisa. We're not reading the beauty, the holiness, the saintliness of the saints. We're not reading St. Louis de Montfort. St. Louis de Montfort points to this. He says, in the final days, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. You read St. Faustina. Jesus said to St. Faustina, the final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. Are you praying divine mercy every day? This is the final devotion. Why is it final? It's not the end of the world. It's the coming of the kingdom. What God is asking of us is to begin to live this abundant life. God is asking us, would you be willing to let go of your misery, your human will, to begin to live in God's most holy divine will? Are you willing to do this? And when we say yes, God goes, good, prove it. How do we prove it? By continuing to read, by continuing to study, by continuing to put this into practice. We have the calendar. And if you're reading the calendar, every day Jesus is flooding you, as he says, manifesting to you so many divine truths about my divine will. Every day Jesus is speaking to you. Now, you love Jesus. And I'm pretty sure most of you have thought, what would have been like to be around Jesus? You know, say at, when he was 29 years old. To be at the house of Nazareth with Our Lady and having Jesus speak to you about what he has planned. Well, this is what he's doing with us right now. You go to your room, you close the door, and you pray. What are you praying? You're listening to Jesus as he speaks to you. As you read the book of heaven, everything changes for you. Everything changes for you. He says that. He says it right in the first line. And to be given to you, Louisa, and through you, Louisa, to the whole world. Why? God wants to manifest what he originally wanted to give to Adam. He said, if Adam didn't sin, God would have given Adam the gift of the divine will. He would have given him the book of heaven. The gift of the divine will is Jesus revealing how and why God wants us to live this life. He would have taught Adam this. And then Adam would have taught his children, which means Louisa has more than what Adam received. Think about that. A human born of original sin has more than what Adam received. How can this be? Because Jesus came to earth, Mary came to earth, the new Adam and the new Eve. They brought redemption. Jesus gave us redemption by shedding every drop of his blood. And Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ at the foot of the cross, dying with him. And Jesus said she would have literally died if it wasn't for the divine will. What's the divine will? Saying to the Father, let it be done as you say. The Father wanted Christ crucified, wanted his Son to die in our place. And Our Lady said, I want this too. She never separated from the will of the Father. You son, you must be dead. You must be dead, crucified. Read the 24 Hours of the Passion. That page there is the most painful to go through. A mother saying to her son, you have to die. This is what the Father wants. You have to take their place. Either you die or they all die forever. She sacrificed her son. Jesus, he loves us very much. The Father loves us very, very much. The Holy Spirit loves us very, very much. Now the time for the Holy Spirit is coming. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit is coming. How is it coming? Through little Louisa. That's what he says. And through you, Louisa, the whole world is going to be transmuted. Why? Because of the so many truths about my most holy divine will. The truths are divine lives that God in his highest goodness has put out. And it bilocates this life. This bilocation is not the bilocation of the saints. This is God bilocating in us. He says, once these books come out, I'm going to change the face of the earth. You have to understand, there's nothing to complain about. It's a new beginning that's happening. We've lived in a home that's been burnt out. All we have, the kingdom that God wanted us to possess, is just in shambles. We're living in a cave. We're living in a kingdom that's a house that's just leaking and cold. And the Lord says, I've got to get rid of this so that my kingdom can be established. I am building a home for you. I am building a palace for you. And Jesus says, do you believe it? And when we say, yes, I believe. You're my Lord, you're my Master, you're my Savior, you're my God, you're my King. I believe it. And then Jesus says, okay, trust me. That's the whole reason for Jesus, I trust in you. To go to the next step. To embrace what God has given to us. And that's this book of heaven. So he says very, very clearly. Again, I as God gives you this divine happiness. I will give you a new truth, a new life. I will communicate to you this abundant life, this perennial communion. A glory, one different from the other, that he says creatures can now give back to God what is God's. See, the saints were doing the will of God, but to live in the will of God is to go back into God's image and likeness. Now, nobody possesses this yet. Okay, Louisa possesses it. Our Lord possesses it as the Son of God. Mary possesses it as the Mother of God. But the first one who will possess this with Louisa is the Pope. That's what we read in the three appeals. You, Holy Father, must be the first to receive the fullness of this gift. And as its representative on earth, you represent the divine will. That's don't worry about what's happening in the Vatican. The gates of hell will not prevail against my church. A full frontal assault is happening not only outside the church, but inside the church. God knows this. And if you panic, if you're frightened, if you're condemning people, you're really not trusting in God. Jesus, you know what has to happen. And I trust you. Our Lady, you know what the church has to go through. You trusted the Father when the Father said, Son, you must be dead crucified. And you agreed with him. You have to understand, what's happening on earth has to happen. Don't panic. Trust in God. Believe in God. Hope in God. Have confidence in God. If you don't have that, all you have is a panic. And that says to everybody around you, you really don't believe that God is in the church. If you believe that Christ was in the church, that Christ is the head of the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, you would not be panicking. You would say, "Well, God has a reason. This is, he wants to purify the church. He wants to purify the world. So be it. Let it be done as you say." That total docility has to be there. That's what Jesus taught Louisa, first of all. So he says, however, these divine happinesses shall be communicated to souls, to the creatures, when they come to know these truths. That's what's so beautiful. As you begin to know these truths, what is happening? You're peaceful, you're joyful, you're happy. You know, people say, don't you understand what's happening? Yeah, I understand what's happening, but I trust Jesus. Well, don't you know that, you know, Scripture says God helps those who help themselves? And you go, no, because Scripture never said that. That's Benjamin Franklin that said that, a deist. It's not. It has nothing to do with Christ. Our trust has to be in Him. We learn from the saints how to get ready for the kingdom. Now the kingdom is being presented to us through the book of heaven, through this little newborn, Luisa Picaretta. And Jesus is asking us, are you confident? Are you confident? These divine happinesses shall be communicated to the souls when they come to know these truths. You read them, you study them every day. This has to become your everything. It's not just reading them occasionally. It's funny, the people that usually are complaining, they say they love the divine will. But when I say, are you reading every day? Well, I really don't have time. What does Jesus say? The happiness will be communicated to you from God as you read, as you study, as you put these truths into effect. It doesn't say, like I know some people say, well, I possess the divine will. How do you possess the divine will? Oh, I love the divine will. Well, do you read? Why? I don't have time, but I believe that this is what God wants. Well, okay. Where is the knowledges of these truths? Where are they? Well, all I have to do is believe it and I have it. No, Jesus doesn't say that. But listen to that first line and the second paragraph. These divine happinesses shall be communicated to the souls when the souls come to know these truths. What do you know in volume 27? What sets your heart? Any verse in volume 27. What do you know that Jesus taught Luisa? Where's your happiness? It shall be communicated to you when you know these truths. It's not magic. Oh, I have the divine. I have the book of heaven. It's right under my arm. See, it's right under my arm. Well, what's in volume 13 that you really love, that Jesus has spoken to you, and it's touched your heart, touched your mind, touched your soul, your intellect, memory, and will? What do you know? What do you love? Let's just try this. What are the 36 things that you know and love in the 36 volumes? Just one. Give me one verse in each volume. One verse, one sentence that you know by heart, that sets your heart and soul on fire. You talk to the children, they know every verse in the songs of today. They can quote you a line in any movie that they love, that they've seen over and over again. Maybe he might even know some sacred scripture. What do you know in the book of heaven? See, this is what Jesus is saying. He says, I give these truths to you, Luisa, these great graces to you, Luisa, and through you, Luisa, to all those souls who are reading, studying, and putting this into practice. Why do you think we want people to read the calendar? Every day Jesus is speaking to you. He's changing your heart, your mind, your soul. He's fulfilling what He has planned in each and every one of us. See, the Lord has got great things in store, great things in store, but He will not interfere with our freedom. If we find, going back to Sunday, if we don't want to keep holy the Sabbath, God goes, fine. I can't give you anything this week. My worries, my fears, my anxieties, my complaints, my negativities, my sins are so much. What did you do Sunday? Keep holy the Sabbath. Begin to be a Catholic. Keep holy the Sabbath. You know, it's not just going to church on Sunday. That's the ultimate gift that God gives you, receiving Holy Communion in the state of grace. You don't want to receive communion outside the state of grace. You don't want to receive communion in the state of mortal sin. You're condemning your soul to hell. That's what St. Paul tells us. A lot of people don't even realize that the reason our children are living the way they're living is because the world has influenced them to such an extent that God is very, very far. Like, we go to church every Sunday, but our children don't. Well, what did you do on Sunday? Sit in front of the television watching sports? That's keeping holy the Sabbath? What did you teach your children? How to be impatient? How to worry, be fearful, be anxious, be complaining, be negative? See, Jesus is saying, he says, I'm giving to you a divine happiness. And he says, these are like as many queens, each of whom possess divine properties, vast and distinct one from another. And they are waiting for the peoples to know that these queens exist and that they contain their properties and yearn and want to enrich and make happy the souls who are reading the divine will, because of whom they were to assist, issued from our divine womb. This isn't human. This is divine. May we share in the divinity, the priest says every day, a holy mass. Listen to what Jesus is saying. These truths are like many queens. Each possess divine properties, vast and distinct one from another. These truths are waiting for the people to know that these truths exist and that they contained their properties, divine properties. And they yearn, these truths yearn and want to enrich and make happy the souls, these souls who are reading the Book of Heaven, because of whom these truths were issued from God's divine womb. We were also issued from God's divine womb. God wants us to participate in who we are. True sons and daughters of God. How can you be sad? How can you be upset? Do you understand who you are? I remember in a class, this was back in 76, and people were saying, you know, you're this and you're that. And I say, what are you talking about? You think you're better than us. I said, I don't think I'm better than you. Are you kidding me? I go to confession each week. then I said, I know what it is. And I said, I'll tell you what you think I'm saying. But it's not what you think. It's really true what I'm saying. And they said, we don't want to hear it. They literally covered their ears. We don't want to hear it. And I said, I'm going to tell you, I believe I am a son of God. I believe that. And I looked at them and I said, you don't believe that you are children of God. How can you be miserable? How can you be sad? You are sons and daughters of God. And these were priests and nuns. And they looked at me and they went, that's it? I go, that's it. It's everything. You're a son and daughter of God. How can you be upset? This is to begin to live a life that is so magnificent. That's when I heard about the divine wills back in 76. And I said, if this is true, there's nothing to be upset about, nothing to be sad about. It's a brand new life that God is giving us. It's to go back to live the life, as Jesus says, that was issued from our divine womb, to participate one with God, fused with God. If you knew how suffocated our love remains, here's Jesus talking about suffocation. Think about him hanging on the cross. Suffocated. And not only was his arms up so he couldn't breathe, but his hair was in his face, his blood was in his face, suffocating him. If you knew how suffocated our love remains, that's Christ on the cross. After we release of so many truths of divine happiness from our paternal womb, for as many truths that we have manifested to Louisa, in seeing that creatures do not enjoy these feasts. These creatures do not enjoy or give us, Triune God, the divine glory that we, the children of God, should give to God. Because God deserves it. God deserves all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Why? He's God. Because they ignore such a great good. And only because they do not want to occupy themselves with making known a good and a grace so great. Who are we to make known this great gift to? Your family? They don't want it. Your friends? They don't want it. Your neighbors? They don't want it. Your coworkers? They don't want it. Your parishioners? They don't want it. Who are you to give this great gift to? Who is supposed to know it? It's us who have the Book of Heaven. Jesus said very clearly to Louisa, the majority of humanity will not want this gift. He says to Louisa, and he says to us, will you live this gift for them? Praying in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. That's the first thing you should do in the morning. Consecrating yourself to Jesus. Lord, every thought, every word, every deed that I do today, let it be done in the holy divine will, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. Do you believe what Jesus said to Louisa? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Listen to what he says. And if you knew how suffocated our love, divine love remains, after having released so many divine truths, divine happinesses from a paternal womb, for as many divine truths that we have manifested to you, Louisa, to be given to the souls who are reading the Book of Heaven. And in seeing that the souls do not enjoy these feasts, nor do they give back to us, Triune God, the divine glory that they should give to us, Triune God, because they ignore such a great good. Why? Because they do not want to occupy themselves with making known such a great good. Grace is so great to themselves. They're not going to the room. They're not closing the door. They're not reading it. What Jesus is asking of us is to begin to live this abundant life. He's really asking us to begin to live this. He didn't say this to the saints. Why? They did not have Louisa. We have Louisa. This is the gift God gave to her. She's the firstborn. She's the newborn, if you believe Jesus, of the divine will. And then the first one who will begin to possess this will be the Holy Father. Why? He says to Louisa, you must be the key. The key that the Holy Father will use. The key that will open the door of the kingdom. And everyone will become Catholic. Or everyone will begin to live the universal life that God originally planned. That's what Catholic means. Universal. Do you see what God is doing? Why are you so upset? Why are you so upset? Oh, I worry about my family. Oh, I worry about my... Well, if Jesus said to Louisa, worry, that would be something important. That's what I would do. What does Jesus say in sacred scripture? Does worry add one moment to your life? And he goes, of course it does. And then he says, stop worrying. Worrying says to Jesus, you're not a good God. I can't trust you. So I've got to worry about this. I got to put this in my own hands so that I can take control of it. I am going to worry about my children. God goes, fine. You want to be God? Try to save them. You're not going to be able to. And until we begin to understand, once a child gets into puberty, if he doesn't or she doesn't understand the truths of the church, they're on their own. Doesn't matter what you say. If they don't understand how to keep holy the Sabbath, they're not praying. They don't even know how to pray. Well, I've got to worry about that. No, you don't. You say to Jesus, I've made a terrible mistake. I need you, Lord, to correct it. You're the Lord. You're my Savior. You're my God. I trust you. I present to you all that I love, and it's in your hands. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my Master. You're my King. And you go to the Blessed Mother. Help me to remain silent at the foot of the cross as you did. Jesus knows the situation we're in. And he has given us the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, Luisa Picaretta, and the divine will, the book of heaven. That's our solution. And if you don't believe that, there's three things that you can have. You can have a heart attack. You can have a stroke. You can have ulcers. Well, I mean, that's what worry does. Worry doesn't say to God, I trust you. And you're not peaceful. You're not joyful. You're not happy. So God is going to give you what you want. He has to. When we say to God, I trust you, I believe in you, I hope in you, I have confidence in you, he says, prove it. What's the proving to Jesus? Peace, joy, and happiness. So Jesus says, because they ignore this great good, because they do not want to occupy themselves with reading the book of heaven, making known to themselves this great good that has graces that are so great, he says, I have to give them what they want. So if you have an ulcer, if you have a stroke, if you have a heart attack, you're basically saying to God, this is what I want. God says, okay, I have to give it to you. Most illnesses are spiritual. They start with from a spiritual aspect. It could be because you're not living a good and holy and saintly life. It could be because you're worried about friends and neighbors and family who are not living a good and holy and saintly life. But when you enter into this gift of the divine will, Jesus gives us the great blessing, the great graces of trusting in him, believing in him, hoping in him. Read, read, read. Every day, listen to Jesus speaking to you. It's not a novel. He's speaking to you. What does he say to us today? The great sorrow is because people do not want to occupy themselves with the book of heaven. They'll do anything and everything. Let's just look at Sunday. How do you keep holy the Sabbath? How do you keep holy the Sabbath? This is a sorrow for us, trying God, that you cannot comprehend. You cannot comprehend the suffocation of a God. Therefore, pray. Pray unceasingly that my divine will be known. By whom? By those that are reading it. You're not to, read this book. Hey, read this book. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Jesus is saying, I've given you this book. Read it. Study it. Put it into practice. Pray unceasingly that my divine will be made known by you who are reading the book of heaven. Pray unceasingly that my divine will may reign in the midst of creatures, in the midst of your family. Let Jesus be there, not you. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin to your family. Let Jesus be there. Jesus gaze in my gazing. Jesus listen in my listening. Jesus speak in my speaking. Jesus serve in my serving. Let Jesus reign there. Let Mary reign there. The Son of God and the Mother of God reign in you. That's what reigned in Luisa, was the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And as we begin to live this, your house becomes a little house of Nazareth, becomes paradise on earth. That's what Jesus is showing. Learn what he's telling you in the book of heaven. And then he says, let it known, let it be known, let it reign in the midst of your family. in the midst of your friends, in the midst of your neighbors. And as Father, this is Father of the age to come, Jesus. That's one of his titles. I, God, may break the bread of divine happiness for my children. Divine peace for my children. Divine joy for my children. What did he say in Scripture? I give you my joy so that your joy may be complete. God has this all planned. And we're in his plans. We are true children of God, sons and daughters of God. And he's offering to us the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies. Louisa Picaretta and the Divine Will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.